Good morning. We are in week two of our Lenten journey, this time where we remember the wilderness of our lives, the places that cause us to wander and to roam, the places that make us a little uncomfortable, that maybe make us anxious, but that allow us to turn to God in new ways. And so over the next few weeks, we've been talking about what it is we give up for Lent. What sorts of things stand in the way of the cross, like control and bitterness and envy? What prevents us from being in that perfect relationship with God? As I was reflecting upon our text this week, I was sent back in time a little bit to my elementary-aged self. And I remember this moment when I was in my bedroom. My parents live in an old house that was built in 1908, and so it was there's these hardwood floors and angled ceilings. And I remember laying there with my hunter green walls, and I remember crying. I remember asking and pleading with God for sobriety for my dad. Although I didn't use big words, right? I was like, God, please help Dad stop drinking. And I went through a long time of bitterness in life. I remember the first time my dad almost died. I was at my mom's house, and I was sleeping in a downstairs bedroom, and I'm pretty sure at that point I had about 40 missed calls on my phone from my dad. And I was like, I'm not answering his calls, that jerk. I don't want to talk to him. And later, my mom got a call from someone else saying they're transporting Danny to another hospital. And we were like, whoa, wait, he was in the hospital at all? It turns out he had been vomiting blood clots for hours and hours. And he spent weeks in the ICU because his esophagus, from all of the bad stuff that had been done to his liver, was starting to just deteriorate. And so we spent a long time in the ICU. And I remember thinking, years later, not even in that moment, when I was 19 years old, I remember thinking, what if that had been the moment? What if I had let bitterness cloud me so much that me ignoring his phone calls would be the last memories I had? That was not a very good moment for me. Like, it was me literally at the cross with Jesus saying, man, I need some help here getting rid of this. Now, I am one of the lucky children of an alcoholic because my dad finally did achieve sobriety. We had 8 years with him before he passed away. This is why I wanted to correct the bulletin, because my dad is no longer with us. But I had 8 good years of time to work through reconciliation and forgiveness. As we come to our text this morning, Peter is also kind of frustrated with this idea of forgiveness. And he goes to Jesus and he says, How many times do I have to forgive someone who has wronged me? And I remember saying this to my grandma as a young child, who was a big proponent of forgiveness, saying, how many times do I have to forgive him for stealing my birthday money, or for missing another event, or for whatever it was he had done that harmed me? And we come to our text, and Jesus says, Peter says, Lord, if a member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus says to him, not 7 times, I tell you, but 77 times. Or another translation of that is 70 times 7, which is even a larger number. And the whole point of this is that it's supposed to be such a big, ridiculous number. That's how often we are called to forgive. Now, you will also notice in this text that the number 7 is used, right? 7 is kind of one of those weird numbers that pops up a lot in the Bible. It's considered a holy number, a perfect number. Not only are we supposed to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, but it's also supposed to be a perfect type of forgiveness, a divine forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness that God offers to us. Here in just a few weeks, we'll get really close to that cross, right? We come closer to Good Friday, the moment when Jesus sacrificed himself for us. The most perfect love. The greatest act of forgiveness we could ever imagine is when Jesus hung on that cross for us. This is what Jesus is calling us to be like. To forgive in such a way that it might hurt a little bit, right? That whatever pride we have might go away. As I was preparing for this week, I found this great sermon by a Presbyterian pastor. I like Presbyterians too. John's nodding. And she wrote this story that I had to share, because as I was reading it, it almost brought me to tears. And her language, the way she writes, is just beautiful. She writes this story, and it says, a phone call came out of the blue. The men on the call, men whose son and daughter were married to one another, were cordial, but they weren't buddies, not pals. They lived in different towns. They led separate lives. If not for their young adult children, they probably would never have known each other. Jack initiated the call. His son was still a boy. Yes, he was married. True, he could buy beer, he could vote, he could legally sign a contract, but he was still a boy, just growing up, still maturing, still growing into the man that he would become, or not. Or not, because Jack's boy, his son, had cancer. The boy wanted to live. Oh, how badly he wanted to live. For his wife, for his newly born child. The house they would someday own. The house that would be a gathering place for all of their future children, friends, and neighborhood kids. But none of that was probably going to happen because he was dying. Jack initiated the call that late afternoon. He was angry, very angry, because his son had not taken his advice. Thunderstorms had crisscrossed the area that day before, and Jack Jr. was supposed to go to the hospital. And he had elected to drive his son back instead of flying. But he went against his father's advice and got on a plane anyway. And so he arrived at the hospital. And instead of being there with his son in his final dying moments, giving thanks that he was maybe going to get one more birthday with him, he came in yelling at his son, saying, you should have listened to me. And no mention of his birthday happened. Our story this morning in the biblical text, we have these three individuals. We have the Lord, and we have two slaves. And as the first slave appears before the master, he has this unbearable debt. And despite all of the things the Lord could do to him, despite all the lessons he could teach him, right? He simply forgives. I think about that dad in that story and how often we are so much like that. We have people that we love in our very midst who are hurting, who we may not get much more time with, and yet we have this need to be right. We have this need to prove a point, to have whatever we consider justice happen. And sometimes grace isn't about that. Sometimes grace isn't about following the law to a T. Sometimes grace isn't always equitable. Sometimes grace makes us humble ourselves a little bit and look at the humanity of another person before us, no matter what they've done or who they are, where they come from, what they believe, or what they look like. Maybe we're called to forgiveness and grace. In Matthew's gospel, the third character in the story is another slave. And I was reading this, and I realized how kind of crazy this story sounds. First, we have this really large amount of times for forgiveness, right? 70 times, 7 times. And then we learn about this first debt. And it says, one who owed him 10,000 talents. And a talent in the Bible was worth more than 15 years of wages for a laborer. Okay? So I want you to take your annual salary, multiply that by 15, and then multiply that by 10,000. Okay? I've not done the math on what that would be for me, but it's a lot of money, right? Okay, that's how much he owed. It's a ridiculous amount. Could you imagine owing somebody that much money? 10,000 times 15 times your annual salary? That's a lot of money, no matter how much you make. Unless it's zero, then that's not a lot. But it's a ridiculous amount of money. Nobody in their right mind would possibly put themselves in a situation to owe that much debt. And so he comes before the Lord and he owes this much. Not only is the amount of money owed ridiculous, but so is the severity of the punishment. It says that because he could not pay, he was not only going to be sold, but his wife and his children and all his possessions were going to be sold as well. That's a harsh punishment, right? And he pleads for him to have patience, for him to repay everything. Not only does the Lord say, okay, let's wait with your punishment, he also forgives the entire debt. Now, if somebody owed you that much money, would you be willing to just let that go? That's a lot of money. And so then this same guy who's just been forgiven, it says another servant owes him some money. And it's just 100 denarii, a usual day's wage, so 100 days worth of pay. So a large amount, right? But not huge. Whatever you make in about 4 months' time. And he does not forgive him. It says he threw him in prison until he could pay the debt. I don't really know how you pay a debt if you're in prison, right? Kind of seems counterintuitive, but whatever. But he had just received this abundant, crazy amount of mercy and grace, and he couldn't forgive also. Each and every day, we receive grace that we do not deserve. God loves us so much, despite how much we screw up all the time. Despite the debts we owe, despite the sin that is heavy, despite the fact that we let all this stuff clutter up our lives. And yet God forgives. The only condition on that forgiveness, the only condition, it's a small one, is to forgive others. Forgive others like God forgives us. Here's the thing I learned as a child from not forgiving. It made me a very bitter person in a lot of ways. And the moment I was able to forgive, I was freed a little bit. Have you ever had that experience? When you were finally able to just let it go? Not only did you free the other person, but you freed yourself. Forgiveness is powerful, and I think that's why Jesus takes it to such an extreme in the biblical narrative. Because if we can't let go of bitterness, we are never going to be fully who God called us to be. Let's pray this morning. God, today I give you thanks. Sometimes we come to a text in your word and we say, whoa, wait, God, what? That's really where you're calling us? Forgiveness is so important in our lives, oh God. And I just ask that we could see and appreciate the generous gift that you offer us each and every day. And that as we leave this place, we can find whatever broken relationships are in our lives, that we can look at people who have harmed us and caused us pain, and God, we can offer forgiveness. Even when it seems extreme, even when it seems impossible, oh God, nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.